they improve your budget. Just keep that in mind.
Yeah, watch it. Not enough.
Okay, are we on? Okay, we're on. Let me, we're going to go live here. Okay. It is 6:02 p.m. on Tuesday, June 10th, 2025. We'll call the Common Council meeting to order. Let's stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Middleton, absent. Varga.
Here.
Romano.
Present.
Weigel.
Here.
Bachman.
Here.
In front of you are the minutes from our last meeting on May 27th. There was one change I noted. I got to remember what it was.
Is it made instead of... Oh, wait, no.
It was under supplement to the code.
2025.
Yeah, 2025-5. I think it's in the third line. It should set an ordinance enacting and adopting instead of acting and adopting. You see what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Besides that, any other changes or corrections? Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve with the noted change?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jennifer, seconded by Tad. Further discussion? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It is unanimous of those present. Next up is Ordinance 2025-6. Do I have a motion to read by title only?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Tad, second by Jennifer. Further discussion? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It is unanimous of those present. Please read Ordinance 2025-6 by title only.
Ordinance 2025-6, an ordinance amending Chapter 114. Restaurants of the Code of Ordinances of the City of Columbia City, Indiana.
So, after some consideration and discussion among Marcia and myself and Chip and others, what we've kind of been doing in the past with Border Works is when a restaurant in the downtown area wants to have seating on the sidewalk, they have to come in front. They have to come in front of the Border Works and kind of give a presentation, tell us what they're going to do. And in the past, we've approved that for a couple of different restaurants. And figured with the more restaurants we get downtown, the more we probably should standardize that process. So that's all really this is standardizing that process, ensuring that they abide by local, state, and federal laws. It's a yearly application process that, again, is just like lots of other things. The permit basically comes in front of Board of Works for yearly approval. Marcia, did I cover all of it pretty much?
And the one thing I would mention is we allowed it to be flexible.
Yes.
So thing, which is not so, yes.
Yeah, it's not super rigid, but it's more of just putting the boundary lines on so that everybody's playing by the same game, if you will, or in the same game. So.
Is there any liability requirement or form, anything that we should have them file?
In the actual permit itself, they actually sign off on that they're going to abide by all those state laws. Right. I think there's even a hold harmless in there, too. So, do you have the permit on you?
We have that they need to provide a certificate of liability coverage.
Yes.
And add us as an insurer.
Thank you.
Yep. No, great question.
First Friday, I thought we had a couple of cables and chairs out front. I was trying to remember which restaurant it was, and I'm like, I don't remember approving that.
So that's a little different. So if it's the streets are blocked off and it's a festival or a festival affair for Friday, that's different. This is only for a regular day where there's no festival, no nothing going on, just to be on the street. So I think historically we've really only approved Pickles and Chibo at this point. But I would imagine that as with nice weather and things like that, if there's room in front of their storefront, and I think you'll see an expansion of that. Okay. So that's that was kind of the direction we went. Any questions from the council? Okay. Do I have a motion to approve Ordinance 2025-6 on first reading?
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Brent, second by Tad. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous of those present. We'll move it to the next meeting for second reading. Next up is Ordinance 2025-7. Do I have a motion to read by title only?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Dan, second by Tad. Further discussion? That's okay. All those in favor show by the usual sign. Put your hand up. It's unanimous. It's unanimous of those present. Please read Ordinance 2025-7 by title only.
Ordinance 2025-7, an ordinance setting rates of pay and expenses for employees of Columbia City Municipal Electric Utility while rendering mutual aid to other communities.
Sean!
So, been working on this ordinance for a while with, in coordination with the Indiana Municipal Electric Association and several other municipals around the state. What we're looking to do is standardize what we offer and what we can charge when we do a mutual aid event. This document is actually required by FEMA. If we do have a FEMA event that they're going to pay for, if we do not have an ordinance, they will not pay for our expenses. And so that's where this all started, was getting an official mutual aid ordinance out there that FEMA will support. And this ordinance actually comes from about four other cities in the state that already have this document in place. We made a few changes. One of the changes I made was we charge double time for our employees when they go anywhere in the state of Indiana working for an IMEA municipal. We do not charge the mandatory 8 hours out of a 24-hour day as sleep time or rest time. Some utilities still charge time and a half or straight time for sleep time. To me, I don't feel comfortable billing other municipals for my guys to sleep. So they do get paid double time for 16 hours. They are forced to take an 8-hour break, and that's an OSHA rule. But we're not paying them for that. And my guys were completely supportive of that. We're not there to gouge anybody. We're there to help. So this is when we have a tornado or a derecho or straight line winds, and we have, we've been in Anderson, we've been a few different places already. We just picked this program back up a couple years ago because our linemen are getting very, very good. We have very well-trained linemen right now. And to be honest, we have one of the best linemen in the state working for us. So we get a lot of calls now for help. And so I wanted to get this in play. It really does standardize. There's only one other utility that does it different. It's a municipal, and it's Peru. They're a union shop. Their guys make triple time from the time they leave until they come back. And to me, I can't do that to a small town, southern Indiana, northern Indiana, wherever, just take advantage of their misfortune. So ours is straight double, which is very fair, I think. And then also, as I said, currently we're not going to compensate for sleep time. So it does cover all expenses, covers our transportation, our trucks. There's a FEMA schedule to what I can charge for my equipment. I will follow that FEMA schedule just so we're everything's by the book, even if it's not a FEMA event, because sometimes FEMA events come up 3 months later.
Afterwards.
Yeah. So if we've met all criteria, say we have an incident where we have to pay out of our pocket to have other people come help us, FEMA comes in and makes it a FEMA event. We have this document. We followed all the rules. They pay for everything for us. So that's kind of the point of this ordinance. I did check with our insurance, everybody else. All of our trucks are covered. Anything that happens is like damage or a vehicle breaks down is covered by the utility that hired us to come work for them. So we're covered there. We have, we went through everything scenario that could possibly happen. And the only thing that's not covered is we're on our way there and the motor goes up for some reason. When we get on site, that's when it starts. But, hopefully you guys do forward, especially. It does a great job of letting us get the vehicles we need and keeping them up to date. So I don't think that'll ever be an issue for us. Any questions for me?
As a reminder, this doesn't mandate that we go to every or any event. It's really just a framework for if we end up deciding to go to an event. Sean makes kind of the judgment call in collaboration with me to determine whether or not we want to send a crew based on our workload, based on what project we're in the middle of, and frankly, if we have damage, obviously we won't be sending them that way. Our first and always priority is our customers. But if it's something that is, as mentioned, if it's something in the Anderson area, if it's something down south of Indianapolis that isn't touched, hasn't touched us, and we look from a forecast standpoint that we look like we're going to be in good shape, that's when Sean kind of makes that determination and we send people at that point. But it's not a, this doesn't mandate us to go to every and any event. It's just a kind of a framework for if we go to an event in those situations.
Can I assume that we have a good enough network with other municipalities that what we're offering, I'll say, is similar to what others would offer us in the same type of ordinance?
Yeah, I receive a lot of phone calls from around the state. I guess it means I'm getting old, but a lot of other utilities do reach out and ask us questions. And so this has been a collaboration with Auburn, Garrett, Peru, Lawrenceburg. I mean, I could just number a couple dozen. We all got together and said, all right,
these are the rules we're going to play.
Let's make it, yeah, everybody plays by the same rules.
Yep. Nope.
And
perfect.
Only one isn't. I mean, and that's just their union job. They have to do things different. So now, I will say they're going to be probably one of the last ones called.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the last ones probably for people to show up there and help them when they need help. So
yep.
we're trying to get more of a teamwork. And I'll be honest with you, this is what, like, the RMCs of the world have a similar agreement. If they need to go help a fellow RUMC, they already know the rules. They already know what it's going to cost. There's no games. There was no mystery. So we were structured a lot around that same structure. So I know if I call Argus to come help, I know we're going to have to pay double time. We're going to pay. And, you know, there's not a whole of this. Hopefully, don't need it anytime soon. But if we do, we've already stuck our hand out to help Anderson and Lebanon, and there was one more. It's just escaping me now.
Was it like down? Wasn't it near Kentucky?
Yeah.
So, and anyways,
I can't even remember what was that now. But anyway, and we've gotten calls and letters and emails thanking us for our help, because when you're down and out and you need a hand, someone reaches out to help, you're going to be the first one to help them when they do it as well.
Other questions of Sean? Okay, hearing none, can I have a motion to approve Ordinance 2025-7 on first reading?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jennifer, second by Brent. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous of those present. We'll move it to second reading at the next meeting. Sean, this is probably also a good opportunity, hate to bring you up, put you on the spot, but a good opportunity maybe talking about how we got our new employee, how he was recommended to us. I think it would be very apropos for this conversation.
Yeah, so Josh Harder was brought on last week, was his first week. So one of the boards I'm on is the Indiana Municipal Electric Association, who does all the training for all of my apprentice lines. The IMEA, as we call them, were approached by a gentleman who lived in Michigan, just across the border. He wanted to get into line work, heard that we had a good school there. It was kind of only for municipals at the time. We talked about it. We're like, why? We could make a little money and make our training cost less, and we could have people from outside. We've got room for them. We've got a brand new facility that I'm going to talk about, not today, but down the road, this new training facility we're looking at. And so this gentleman paid his own way to climbing lab and his Class A CDL and everything that is encompassed into this pre-apprentice program now. He graduated the program. Told the director, I want to go work for a small team. I don't want to work AED. I don't want to work for a co-op. I want to live in the town. I want to be a part of the town. And the director said, well, there's only two places in the state of Indiana I would recommend. And we were number one of us. So he put his application in, and we ended up hiring him. So he's a very intelligent kid. He's 20-some years old. He's worked for 8 straight years up north. He's got $150,000 in the bank just waiting for this day. And it's just a neat story. He's pretty excited to be here as well. And we're excited to have him. Everything's been really good so far. But to have him, suggest our community and our utility
Okay. Do I have a motion to read ordinance 2025-8 by title only? Motion by Tad, second by Dan. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous of those present. Please read ordinance 2025-8 by title only.
Ordinance 2025-8, an ordinance amending Chapter 115, door-to-door solicitation of the Code of Ordinance of the City of Colby City, Indiana.
So this is just a modification of the door-to-door solicitation ordinance. We really just wanted to clarify a couple of things and make sure that there was a clear mandate, if you're going to be going door-to-door, that you have some kind of an ID badge that shows your name, your organization, address, phone number, things like that. Identifiable information. And then also that each solicitor must have a copy of the permit on their person. From a personal experience, I've had multiple solicitors come to my door and I ask to see their permit and they say it's in the car. And this change in the ordinance mandates they must have it on their person, and frankly, it also gives them the opportunity to look at the permit and look at the name tag and make sure that the two match. So it empowers our citizens to do more of their own, I won't say police work, but to do more of their own checking and making sure they're a legitimate source of information. As always, there's the things that we've had in the past, like for instance, they cannot touch people. They can't say that, you know, a city government or anybody else has sent them. If someone has a no solicitor sign, they cannot go up to that house. So it still has those core functions of the door-to-door salesman sales ordinance, but it also has those additional identifying information to ensure that our residents know whether or not they're legitimate or not. So whether or not they have a permit, because they have to have it on their person. Things like that. So, did I miss anything, Marcia?
No.
Leslie, did I miss anything? Gary, did I miss anything? Okay. So this is, to be fair, that this is stemmed from some residents, especially in Eagle Glen, that had concerns about the opportunity to confirm or deny whether or not someone has a permit. And, you know, again, they shouldn't have to call into City Hall to decide whether or not the person is legitimate. They should be able to show their permit in person when requested. So we've kind of tweaked and modified how we would do that internally to make sure that each of the names for those individuals that is, when someone comes in for a permit, they have to put each of the names of the solicitors that will be out in the neighborhoods on that permit. So making sure that the solicitation of the permit itself matches the ID card that they're supposed to be having on their person. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Probably have beat that horse to death already. Sorry about that. So, any questions about the ordinance? Okay. Do I have a motion to approve ordinance 2025-8 on first reading?
Move.
Second.
Motion by Brent, second by Tad. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous of those present. We'll move it to second reading at the next meeting. Department head reports. Sean.
So we're still working on 50 East and Collins Street. There's a bunch of overhead power lines that go right through people's backyards. Can't them with trucks. We can't trim them. We have a lot of squirrel and animal issues there. So we're undergrounding all that. We're boring. All the boring is done. We're going to be pulling wires soon. Still working on changing out poles that failed inspection. We did a couple today. We have another one scheduled in the morning and see what the weather looks like. So we're moving right along on that. All the Tree City USA trees have been removed. All the stumps that we're going to remove have been removed. And so we'll work on dirt, seed, and straw after that. We've just been fairly busy right now. Other than that, we have a new employee there last week, so excited to have him. Full staff, getting more and more important as we do get more tenured people that have more time off. We haven't had that in a while. We've got a lot of young guys, so but it's good for them.
Question to Sean. Thank you. Chip.
Blue River Trail is moving along slowly. I don't know if the weather or what, or if they have another job, but it is moving along. Eagle Park, we're just waiting. Landscaping was done last week. We're waiting on the yard to be put in, so hopefully soon. Just as an FYI, we are working, Jackson and I are working on Adora for downtown, which, if you do not know, is designated outdoor refreshment area that will assist many of the restaurants to be able to have alcohol that they could serve and people can walk around during events and drink it. So other than that, we are plugging along.
Kind of for that note, I know that as a part of the Dora, there are specific cups that they have to, like, you have to have specific cups that they can walk around with, but it's specified. So just, you can't just have any red Solo cup. There's a specific Dora cup, right, that there has to be signage that says that you're now entering the Dora, you're now exiting the Dora, things like that. So, but Huntington just recently put into effect, Warsaw's had it, I think, for
2 years.
Is it 2 years now? So
Fort Wayne's had it for two, and
so we're not on the as Terry says, the bleeding edge of things, but we are trying to be forward thinking with all the new restaurants and just with all the great stuff that's happening in downtown. Another thing in which we'll invite people to stay downtown when they come downtown. So that's kind of the goal. That would come in front of you anyways. So the Dora language has to be passed by the city council. In the future, so just so you know, that's what they're working on. It'll come in front of you prior, obviously, before it would be enacted. So, any questions, Chip? Thank you, Mike.
We've been working on the 6-inch water main up on North Park Drive. It is, the 6-inch part has been laid, pressurized, and tested. We've taken the second bacteria sample, but the first one did not pass, so. Hopefully the second one did, and then we'll have to have another one yet in 24 hours. You have to have two of them in 24 hours to pass before we can start hooking the people up to it.
Questions to Mike? Thank you. Mike?
This is the first meeting. Thanks to the fire department for coming to my house on Sunday at a small fire and air breaker box. Electric department also on site Sunday and yesterday. And calls to the building planning part. Mr. Bachman over there helped me out to get temporary power back on to our house until we can get a final replacement on Thursday. So thanks to everybody involved yesterday. It went fantastic, a lot smoother than I thought it would go. As far as the treatment plant, the fourth main project, we're down to the very finals. There's a couple of sinkholes. Water line needs repaired to Jefferson, and then some seating that I want redone at a house on Jefferson. They had a really nice lawn. We went in there and tore it up, and I'm not happy with the way the seating came in, so I'm going to have them redo that. Still working on the sludge hauling. The new plan B, I'll call it, that we came up with, working with Marl Brothers, it actually will be cheaper than what we're doing now. I don't know quite all the details yet, but we're working on that. Some samples have been sent in to working on, they're working on getting a landfill permit. So that's moving forward, slowly, but moving forward. Met with personnel from Alliance Indiana Rural Water today. Some issues we've been having with ammonia and things like that. And they kudos to my employee, Austin. Kind of took a lead on that today because I had a lot of other things I had to take care of this morning. But I sit in later on in the process, and they ran a lot of samples. They ran a lot of numbers, formulas, and things like that, and kind of developed a plan to start moving us forward what we think will help solve the issue. So we started implementing that today. So it'll be a slow process. You have to make adjustments slowly so you don't freak everything out. So but hopefully that'll work out. And unless you have questions, that's all I got.
Question the mic. Thank you. Tom.
Well, unfortunately, things have been busy. In some ways, that's good. In some other ways, that's bad. We have two of the three new guys that we started last month have finished their books. The third guy's really close. It should be done yet this week. That's exciting because as they move forward in that, we can start cutting them loose and along with their crew as a full firefighter. Hydro testing for the air bottles that we wear on our backs and then the bottles that we fill the bottles on our backs with have all been hydro tested and it's complete. Kudos to Lance Spears. He picked up our fixed asset sheets and went through them and worked with Leslie and got those all completed, and I really appreciate him doing that, so I wanted to make sure I mentioned him. Evaluations are over half done, and we met with Old Settlers Day Committee this week. Oh, many of us did.
Important. Thank you.
Met with the Old Settlers Day Committee. I'd also like to thank them for taking the time to come in and sit down with us and try to figure out the best way we can maneuver to make this a good program for everybody. So just wanted to say thanks to them. Also, a reminder, Flag Day, and there's another organization the mayor will talk about in a minute, is this coming Saturday the 14th. We get involved in that, so that's coming up, and we've got that planned with our guys, along with the parade. And then finally, ladder testing is the 16th and 17th of next week, so that's two really busy days for us as well. So,
question to the top. Thank you. Terry?
Well, the electric department got the fiber terminated in the Columbia City Jail, or whatever you guys want to call this thing. We need a name for it.
We don't have a real name yet, so.
And so that was great. And then they also found a break in our line at Mortgage Park, and they're in the process of fixing that. So that's also fantastic that we can do that in-house. We also got all the equipment in for Eagle Park and the jail. So hopefully that equipment will be programmed and be installed here in a couple of weeks, so we can get both of those locations live.
That's questions to Terry. Thank you. GP.
All right. Scott Leatherman has retired from the police department. As of Friday was his last day. I want to thank him for his 26 and a half years dedication to the police department and his commitment to the community and the city of Columbia City. Done a great job the last few years out of SRO. They're going to miss him out there. As far as physical safety, he was top-notch out there. However, he will continue to work for the city in a civilian role as the code enforcement coordinator, which that's kind of a new position for the city, so it's kind of going to be a work in progress. He'll be working with the county building department and the housing authority, so I think it's going to be a good thing, helping us with the right policy, so I think things are going to really make that program well and make the city benefit from that. So new officers are doing well. Officer Sturgis is down at the academy, talked to him over the weekend, and he said there's like 11 people that's got released from there or fired from there. So he's, I said, just do your thing and you'll be fine. So
just means more bunk space.
That's right.
That's all it means.
Tornado sirens have been ready. They should be here soon. We'll get them put up as fast as we can. First Friday went well. And then just gearing up for Old Settlers and downtown events.
Question of Gary. Thank you. Marsha.
Nothing.
Marsha, will you share what you shared at Board of Works?
Oh.
Because that was really awesome.
I forgot all about that.
Yeah.
Yes, I spoke to somebody who's one of the, I don't know if he still is, but he's a little older, but one of the top skateboarders in the state and around the area, and also he's worked a lot with design. And he said, I'm telling you, Columbia City's, if it's not the best in the state, it's certainly one of the best, the skate park. So, anyway, big compliments to everybody that's worked so hard on that. And he was incredibly calm. He just went on and on. Very complimentary.
Thank you for sharing. Leslie.
Leslie.
A couple of reports. Matt is out this week, but obviously they're preparing for Old Settlers with bleachers and picnic tables. The Aquatic Center has been not super busy because it's been either cold or wet recently, but hopefully with the warmer temperatures this week, we'll drive up that attendance and stuff, but probably good to kind of get us a ramp-up start, if you will, so that's good. For Kelly's report, Brooks Construction has been working on the ADA ramps, of course. Was working today on the Van Buren and Line Street ramp there. We're trying to get those ramps done prior to Old Settlers. That's kind of important. We found that there was a bit of a sinkhole at the corner of Jefferson and Line Street. So today, I think Wygent was out there working on getting that fixed. I believe it is done, and I think it's been backfilled, or maybe will be backfilled. But anyways, long story short is we got it squared away, taking care of. He was telling me today that there was a, so it's kind of a brick manhole that's there because it's in the older part of the city, right? But as they dug down, they found another brick manhole right next to it, but they didn't, that it was an abandoned brick manhole. So they had two brick manholes touching each other that they didn't know, you know, one of them they didn't know about. So they had to work kind of around that and figure out how to handle that. But so, you know, anytime you dig, you find new adventure. So, especially in the older part of the city. So anyways, they've been working on that, working on the Eagle Glen sidewalk and ramp situation out there. They did spraying in the alleys last week for dust control, and obviously worked earlier this week on, I think it was this last week, on limb pickup. And besides that, as a reminder, City Hall is closed next Thursday in observance of Juneteenth. This Friday, I'll be at Columbia City High School in that morning passing out our annual mailboxes to the seniors. And then on Saturday, as Tom kind of mentioned, the America 250 group will be doing the kind of kickoff on Flag Day at 10 a.m. at the Farmers Market on the Courthouse Square. So I know there's going to be, I think Mark Parker will be there in his full regalia, his uniform, and it'll be a nice small but a nice event to kind of kick off the America 250, which is a celebration of the 250th anniversary of the United States of America, and officially runs, I think, July 4th of 25 through July 4th of 26. Does that sound right, Ms. Historian? So that's great. Budgets are basically done. Leslie and I met earlier today to walk through those. We're kind of in a holding pattern, as I've mentioned to you in the past, because we don't know what it's going to look like. We know that there's a projection that over the next 3 years we will lose out, if you will, on $1,200,000 that would have came in, but we don't know where the revenue is going to be. So my department heads have done a really good job of basically having a flatline budget. I've already told them we're doing no new hiring next year. We will replace people who either leave or are retired or whatever, but we're not going to add any new positions next year. And, you know, we've done some of those things as budgetary controls. And we may get to the end of the year and they give us a revenue forecast or a revenue, like what our true revenues are going to be, and they may say, hey, you have X amount of wiggle room, or they may come back and say, you have to cut $500,000. We just don't know. It's going to be somewhere probably in that on that spectrum. So we'll see, but it's a kind of a up in the air right now. So. And then this week and next week is evaluation time for all of my staff. They love it so dearly, and looking forward to each and every one of those meetings. And as a reminder, at the next council meeting, I will not be here, so Dan will run it. So,
how late are you going to be here?
That's a good question. I know Tad will not be here. Will the two of you be at the next council meeting?
I should be.
Okay.
I should be.
Okay. And I think Jenny is planning to be here as well, I think. So you should have a quorum.
Okay, so I was
great question. Great question. So I think that's all I have for right now. Dan?
Yeah, first of all, I might say that we did, Board of Works did approve a front yard fence location at the corner of Line Street and Jefferson.
Yes.
With stipulations on it, there, he had a fenced out, and I went out and looked at it, measured it. I got a little car, and I thought it needed to be adjusted again, and the mayor went out and looked at it, so the chief of police, they went out and moved it, because I thought it wasn't quite good enough yet, even after the adjustments that he made, and he adjusted it to what the chief and mayor thought, and it looks like it should be, line of sight should be okay now, but again, as long as he puts it in where it's supposed to be placed, like
if it doesn't, we're going to make him rip it out.
Yeah, if it's not
quite in the right place, he's going to rip it out and he'll do it again. But
yeah.
he's been really good to work with.
He really
came in very willing to work with us to try to make sure line of sight and everything like that. So I think we found a really good compromise, is my point.
So I think we should be okay. So once he puts it up, I'll go back and I'll look at it again. But I know personally I went out, measured it, and stepped it off, and I thought, after the test was made, it was really well. Yeah, I think it was good.
Is it still staked? Is it still staked there? It's still staked, so if you guys want to go look at it, you can. It's corner of Jefferson and Line. So.
I talked to Brent, right, the first to have him look at it.
I thought it was
just too close to the sidewalk at that point.
So we made the angle a little bit better so you can have a better line of sight overall. So the southern portion of it is still fairly close to the sidewalk, but the rest of it with the angle, I felt like it was a line of sight. Good on line of sight. So.
Right. So I just want you all to know, if you see that or get a phone call on it, we have looked at it and we believe it's okay. Yeah.
It's not going to be where it was the last time it was put up incorrectly, by the way. So yeah. We're good. I think we're good. We're good.
Yeah. And then, I don't know how many people watch the Board of Works and how many people watch the City Council, but I'm going to try to control my emotions.
You got the stand.
Because the Board of Works, I didn't do so well. Because I got to give credit to our dispatch, police department, and fire department for what an amazing job they did early Sunday morning, about 1:30 at night. My nephew got T-boned out at 1:09:30 by a semi that ran a red light. And by all rights, he could have been a fatality. When you look at the picture of his vehicle, but because of how well our dispatch, police department, and fire department are trained, they handle the event with such professionalism. My sister wanted to make sure that, they knew that and our public knows that, because we're truly blessed to have men and women in charge of those moments when we need them the most. And we are truly blessed to have them. And I'm so grateful. My family is totally grateful for the way they handled it. Because how well they handled it and a miracle from God, he's still here. He's actually home now. He's got a collar, and somehow when you see how that happened, he shouldn't be here by all means. But we have the best. I firmly believe that. And I wouldn't have anybody else in the world work with my family than what we have right here. So very, very grateful. So thank you very much.
Thanks, Jim.
I have nothing.
Tad?
Ordinance, we have some new parking ordinance coming up. That's the only one we...
That was agreed upon. The parking committee, we've got an ordinance committee on the 24th.
Well, yeah, but I'm on the phone for so we do a double duty there. Skip the stuff, just went right to Marsha. And then RDC met today. We have a lot of things going on, but they're all kind of in a holding pattern. So that's it.
Great. Thank you. Brent.
I would like to say, as part of the Old Settlers Committee, thank you to all the department heads for meeting the other day, and thank you, Sean, for not being there.
Anytime.
But it's great that we can get together, and I know it's a rough week for everybody, but it always ends up being a pretty darn good situation, and being able to work together with that committee and you guys, it always works out really well. So thank you for doing that. Also on the Old Settlers Committee hat, thank you, Jennifer, for working with us through the Historical Society and Art Commission stuff to get the coloring page thing going. Neat thing for the kids and the community. So yeah.
A lot of entries coming in already.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had a lot of people contact me about it, so I think it's going to be really neat.
Cool.
Other than the midway, there's a lot of stuff going on with Old Settlers, so it should be a really good week.
Yep.
And thanks everybody for welcoming me as a new member of the council. So I appreciate it.
Appreciate that, Brian. Yeah, we're excited about Old Settlers Parade. We approved in the Board of Works, and obviously the Week of Old Settlers, and it is a flurry of activity. It's a flurry of activity. But again, I said this in Board of Works, but I will reiterate what you said and what our department head said, is I think that meeting is so critical to ensuring that the event goes off as well as it can go off, right? I mean, we have weather events that pop up. We have other things that pop up that are out of our control that we still handle. But having the pre-meeting where everybody has an opportunity to say what they need to say, to plan for what they need to plan for, have all the things, all the X's and O's, you know, planned out, if you will, it just makes it go 1,000 times smoother than it used to. And I know from the city side, we appreciate that very
much. Well, and having a group of people that are willing to work together to make it work is crucial, and kudos to you guys for doing it.
Thank you.
Rick, do you want to speak on the pets downtown?
Yes, so there is a multiple signage downtown that is going to be bigger than the signage that we had last year to basically state that there is no pets, animals, or anything allowed downtown during Old Settlers. So if anybody does see anything like that, people walking their dogs, unless they're certified service animals, no, are not allowed to be in downtown. So whether it's dog on a leash, cat, snake around your neck, it doesn't matter. Sorry, Chip.
Turtles,
if we can't...
Turtles around your neck?
If you're walking your turtle downtown, then you can get in trouble for that, Chip.
Okay.
So leave your turtle at home.
Duly noted.
Yeah. So, but there'll be signage up around downtown on the courthouse lawn. But, again, animals are not allowed.
I know First Fridays I see a tremendous amount of animals. I actually seen two dogs go at it.
Yep.
As a person, I've seen them both go at it, and I'm like, why are you not that here? I mean, if you know you got a dog that's got a personality complex, you know, why do you bring that animal downtown? I don't understand. No, I've seen a lot of dogs.
The ordinance leaves it up to the event.
Yeah.
Because it's their closed event. So the ordinance leaves it up to the event. So First Friday allows it. Pets, and the hoteler does it.
Yeah. But the point is leave your animals at home.
Yep. Old Settlers, leave your animals at home.
Yeah. Anything else for the good of the cause? Yes, Sean.
I know we're ready to go, but real quick. Shout out to Terry Daly and our fire department.
Yes.
Saving a lot of damage over that center. That center is huge to so many kids in this community.
Yes.
And just by luck, he walked over to the building as it was in flames and was able to contact the fire department. They got out.
Who was it that did that?
Terry Daly. He's their maintenance person.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, that was awesome. I talked to him and he was like, I didn't have to walk back, but I happened to walk back, and thank goodness he did. And then he didn't even call dispatch; he just ran across the street to the fire department, and got him going. So.
That's really sweet.
I'm kind of curious about the response time.
Yeah, it was quick. It was measured in seconds, not minutes, thankfully. So, anyways, okay. Well, since no press, no audience, we'll call the meeting adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.